Hello, and welcome to Conspiracy 101, where Daniel and I dive deep into the world of the unknown.
Yes. No.
And maybe even the known. We're not so sure because we're not that, but the conspiracy, it could happen to anyone. We could find out. We could reveal something. If we don't come back next week, call your local authority. Because we should still be here.
988.
But each week we tackle a conspiracy that is of interest. And this week, you want to know what we're talking about, Dave?
Yes, definitely. Let me guess.
What do you want to guess?
Let me guess. Okay, because we've done a lot of things already.
Yeah.
Like, I want to promote our first season because... our episodes, because we've been there. We talk about UFO, we talk about artificial moon, zero point energy, USO, yes. Skinwalker runs, and of course, cloning celebrity. What is it? Chronovisor, hidden tunnels, and then the reptilian controversy, the Illuminati. And the last episode, chemtrails.
And chemtrails, that's right, yeah.
Chemtrails. Let me guess will be the next, Mr. Bob. It's all about evolution of the human being.
No, that's a good question, though. Actually, you could tie it to that if you wanted to, but it's been in the news here lately. It's interdimensional beings.
Almost there, right?
Like aliens, but from another dimension.
Interesting.
So there's I can't even speak now, Daniel. There's a conspiracy for me speaking. The interdimensional hypothesis, often contrasted with traditional extraterrestrial theory, suggests that unidentified anomalous phenomena, UAP, UFOs, are not visitors from distant star systems, but manifestations from dimensions that coexist with our own. This perspective posits that our physical reality is merely a thin slice of a much larger, multi-layered book of existence. Rather than traversing vast space, these entities might traverse the membrane separating these layers. So this allows them to bypass the light speed limitations that would otherwise make interstellar travel logically or physically improbable for biological beings within our conventional understanding of time and space. Researchers like Jacques Vallée and John Keel have pioneered this view, suggesting that what we perceive as aliens may be modern interpretations of entities that have appeared as fairies, demons, spirits throughout human history. By shifting the frame from space travel to dimensional access, the phenomenon becomes an issue of perception and physics rather than just distance. Here's an example. A medieval scribe records seeing shimmering knights emerging from a mist in the forest, who then vanish into thin air, a report that mirrors modern accounts of UFOs. What do you think?
Well, I think it's true, Mr. Bob. It's true that you have a DNA of an alien.
You always say that. So here I've thrown an example up there of shimmering lights in a basement. See that? So, yeah. So, but there is this whole interdimensional theory, and it's been catching on in the news because there's a lot of things going on in the UFO world, the UAP world right now. And interdimensional beings is one of the big things that people are batting around, right? So. At the heart of the scientific discussion regarding interdimensional travel is a concept of brain cosmology, B-R-A-N-E. This theory, derived from string theory, suggests our entire universe is a three-dimensional membrane floating within a higher dimensional space called the bulk. If this is true, other brains could exist only micrometers away from our own in extra dimensions, yet we would not be entirely unable to interact with them or see them under normal circumstances. Some physicists theorize that gravity, unlike other forces, might leak between these brains, hinting at why gravity seems to be much weaker than electromagnetism. If an advanced civilization were to be able to manipulate this leakage or bridge these membranes, they could effectively step from their world into ours. This would look like an object simply popping into existence out of nowhere, or a craft that can instantly change velocity without the inertia we would expect, because it's operating on a different set of dimensional rules.
Ooh, different frequency.
Interesting, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
Here's an example. Scientists in a theoretical physics lab observed anomalous gravity fluctuations leading from to hypothesize that a bleed from a parallel dimension is occurring within their containment field. Here we got a little picture of Fox Mulder from the X-Files. Kind of blurry X-File. There. He's going between two dimensions.
Mm-hmm.
What do you think two about dimension. That? Do you think that there's all these different brains? That they're just micrometers away, and maybe in the next brain there's, you know, people who look like spaghetti?
I think so, Mr. Bob.
Have you ever seen
Everything
Everywhere All at Once, the movie?
No.
That's, what is so? Well, it's about other dimensions.
The other dimension of other dimensions.
Interesting, don't you think?
Yes. I hope we can access that. What do you think if we can access that? Access the other dimension.
That would be great, especially if in the other dimension I can, you know, get a bunch of cash and bring it back to this dimension.
Money, come to me.
Well, maybe that's what they mean by manifesting it, that you just reach over the other dimension and get it.
Yes.
Good idea. Ultra-terrestrial. John Keel coined the term ultra-terrestrial to separate his theories from the extraterrestrial label. Mm. He argued that these entities are not from out there, but instead right here, existing on a frequency or energy level that our senses are not evolved to detect under normal conditions. This explains why many reports feature beings that seem to have no need for spacesuits, breathing apparatus, or complex life support systems. They are already native to the environment of Earth, just on a scale or dimension that is essentially invisible to our standard electromagnetic detectors. Keel also suggested that these entities might have been manipulating human perception for millennia by intentionally appearing as different things to different cultures, angels in one era, demons in another, and technological aliens today. They ensure that our reaction to them is always filtered through our own beliefs, keeping their true nature hidden. What do you think?
Interesting. Interdimensional indeed.
So here I got fairies, right? Different fairies.
Fairies and
Mona Lisa. I think she was an interdimensional being.
Mona Lisa?
Here's an example. A witness in the 19th century reports a ghostly carriage that behaves like a flying saucer, illustrating how these entities adapt their appearance to contemporary technology.
Interesting.
Maybe they make my nose act up too. Like, you know, maybe allergies are really just these interdimensional beings coming over and making my nose terrible.
So the interdimensional hurting you.
Yes.
Why not?
Could be. We don't know.
Yes.
Maybe or it's either not give pollen. You. Maybe they smell bad and it makes my nose bothered.
Or either give you luck. Good luck.
Maybe they can give me good luck. Here, I've got another. Here's another interdimensional being right there. See that?
Interdimensional. I think I do believe that.
So, consciousness and reality. This is something we have to think about, Daniel.
Okay.
Because some of the most radical proponents of the interdimensional theory argue that these entities are not physical at all, but are thought forms or manifestations of collective consciousness. In this view, the boundary between the internal world of the human mind and the external physical world is more porous than we think. Mm-hmm. If consciousness is the fundamental building block of the universe, then these interdimensional beings might be interacting with us at a level of our neural processes. This could explain why so many encounter experiences feel like they share dreams, or they often involve telepathic communication rather than speech. This theory also addresses the absurdity often found in reports. If the phenomena are trying to teach us something or to test our perception, they may be creating bizarre dreamlike scenarios specifically designed to break our rigid materialist worldview and force us to question the nature of reality itself.
We like that.
That doesn't sound very good, does it?
But it will materialize for you.
5D theory right there. Here's an example for you. A contactee describes an experience that starts with a feeling of deep meditative focus, followed by an entity appearing in their room, suggesting the encounter required a specific state of consciousness to occur. How interesting.
Yes.
Have you ever seen, have anybody ever appeared in your room?
Color. Different colors, like speck.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
So maybe more like this.
Yes. But it's more colorful, like you can see the rainbow colors.
Okay. Interesting.
Mm-hmm. So they are an alien?
I've never had that happen.
This week, Mr. Bob, you will experience it.
The Manzoni connection. In this landmark work, Passport to Manzonia, Jacques Vallée mapped the history of folklore, fairies, and goblins against modern UFO reports.
Okay.
He found an identical pattern of behavior, suggesting that the entities are a constant, unchanging variable in human history, merely shifting their costumes. In this framework, Manzonia represents a sort of parallel state of existence, tales of people being abducted by fairies and returning years later, often feeling as though they were gone for mere minutes, aligned perfectly with the missing time phenomena associated with modern UFO abductions. By linking these ancient myths to contemporary science fiction-inspired sightings, Vallée challenged the idea that UFOs are necessarily futuristic, physical machines. Instead, they appear to be a mechanism, a kind of cultural technology designed to interact with human culture, perhaps to steer us, our societal evolution.
Mm.
Ooh, that's weird, isn't it?
That's so weird. Societal evolution.
Yeah, maybe. Do you believe that at all?
Here in Canada, there's...
See, look, this guy's mapping things out here. He's part of the evolution. So here's a story for you. A person from the 17th century claims to have visited a hidden land inside a hill where time stood still, echoing modern accounts of visiting strange high-tech environments during an abduction. So in the 17th century, it wouldn't have been a UFO. It would have been a fairy or a goblin or something like that. Mm. And now we get picked up by spaceships, right? But
I'll mind them.
Same either way. So throughout the ages, sacred sites, temples, and places of power have often been described as locations where the veil is thin. Proponents of the interdimensional hypothesis suggest that the geographic locations may naturally coincide with dimensional fault lines or portals. The ancient world's obsession with building massive structures on ley lines or geometrically significant points might have been just about architecture or astronomy. It could have been a way to stabilize, anchor, or interact with the energetic output of these interdimensional interfaces. If these portals are real, they would explain why certain areas of the world seem to be hotspots for paranormal, supernatural, and UFO-related activity. It is not that these entities are flying to these locations, it is they are manifesting there just as they have for thousands of years. Thousands of years.
Millennia.
And one of those places is Skinwalker Ranch.
Oh my gosh. Fourth episode.
Yes, exactly. It all comes together, doesn't it, Daniel? So here's an example. An archaeologist researching an ancient pyramid finds evidence that the structure was built to focus a specific type of radiation, which aligns with modern reports of UAP activity at the same site. Interesting.
Yes.
All right, so the role of symbols and archetypes. The entities involved in these, sightings often display a fascination with symbols, whether it's in the patterns seen on crops, like crop circles.
Yes.
You know, crop circles. Have you ever seen a crop circle? I haven't.
Yes, yes. The cornfield.
Yeah, there you go. There's the crop circles.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah. I've never seen a crop circle. I hope to one day. Or cryptic messages delivered during abductions. The information is rarely direct scientific data, but rather highly symbolic archetypal imagery. Mm. This suggests that the entities are communicating in a language that bypasses the logical linguistic center of the human brain. Instead, they target the subconscious, where archetypes, universal symbols, reside, effectively reprogramming or influencing human culture from the bottom up. If they are interdimensional, they might not understand our world linearly. They may view our history, our myths, and our fears as single, accessible, and malleable tapestry. By introducing specific symbols, they could be creating long-term shifts in our collective belief systems, preparing humanity for a reality that we are not yet ready to consciously grasp.
Yes.
They're manipulating us.
We are not
ready for it. Here's a story. A farmer finds a complex symbolic pattern in their field after witnessing a silent light. And despite it containing no words, they feel a deep symbolic message that fundamentally changes their outlook on life. There's crop circle. He's like, this looks like a bunch of Frisbees laying on top of each other.
Maybe he's
wrong.
Maybe yes, maybe not. But it is.
Have you ever heard like of the Fermi?
Pie.
Have you ever heard of the Fermi paradox?
Fermi paradox? No, Mr. Bob, what is it?
Really? The Fermi paradox asks, if the universe is so vast and old, where is everybody? Where's everybody at? The interdimensional hypothesis offers a compelling solution. Everybody is here. But they are not using the physical, slow, and obvious methods of space exploration that we have been looking for. If a civilization can access other dimensions, they have no reason to travel light years to visit us. They wouldn't need to conquer the vacuum of space or build gargantuan ships. They simply exist in the space between the spaces, perhaps even in the very air around us. This would mean the silence of the universe is not an indication that we are alone, but rather an indication that we are looking for the wrong kind of signals. We are searching for radio waves and mechanical craft while visitors are operating on dimensions we don't even have names for yet.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Weird.
That's interesting.
Exactly.
So we are old. We are old already.
We are old
because
already.
Because we exist already.
Let's share this one here. So this is like we're listening out in space here with these radio telescopes.
Radio waves.
We're not looking in the right direction here. An example is a SETI researcher suddenly had an epiphany that the signals they are looking for aren't radio, but gravitational or dimensional in nature, shifting their entire search methodology.
The epiphany. Oh. Interdimensional. Epiphany.
So extraterrestrial hypothesis often struggle with the biological problem. Why would beings from another star system have humanoid bodies? Why would they breathe air? Why would they be susceptible to our germs? The interdimensional hypothesis sidestepped this issue entirely. If these entities are manifesting into our reality, they may not be flesh and blood at all. They might be constructing a shell or a holographic projection or a temporary physical manifestation that is designed specifically to interact with us, making them appear humanoid simply because that is the form our brains are most comfortable perceiving. This also explains the strange, almost dreamlike movement of many UFOs. If the craft and the beings are not bound by the same laws of physics that govern our solid matter, they can behave in ways that would destroy any physical, biological creature, such as stopping instantly from supersonic speeds or passing through solid objects.
Solid objects.
Yeah. Isn't that crazy?
Yes, it is.
Well, here's one. Here's another one. You said you had lights in your room. Is it like that?
Oh, yeah, like that.
There you go.
Probably alien.
So but here's
more
an example.
Colorful.
But more colorful? Not just red?
Not red. It's like a rainbow colors.
Oh, okay. Here's another example. A military pilot reports a UAP performing impossible maneuvers that would have turned any biological pilot into mush, reinforcing the idea that the occupants are not bound by conventional biology.
Conventional apology.
So a common theme in interdimensional encounters is the trickster behavior. These entities often seem to lie, provide false information, or act in ways that deliberately frustrate, confuse, or frighten the humans they interact with. This has led some researchers to suggest these entities are not benevolent space brothers here to save us, nor are they purely benevolent. They are something much stranger. They are actors in a cosmic game, perhaps testing us, amusing themselves, or playing a role in a larger incomprehensible system. If we acknowledge that their nature as tricksters, we can stop looking for a logical motive. There may be no motive that fits our human sense of purpose. Instead, we must treat them as an intelligent, unpredictable, and potentially highly advanced force that we have been forced to share our world with.
Mm-hmm.
That doesn't sound good.
Why not, Mr. Bob? Oh my, it's just like MIB, Men in Black.
So here's an example. A person is contacted by a mysterious voice that gives them a series of contradictory warnings about the future, leaving them bewildered and highlighting the trickster nature of the phenomenon.
Mm.
Those guys aren't very nice.
They mean
possessed. Let's talk about quantum mechanics.
Okay.
Quantum mechanics provide the strongest theoretical bedrock for interdimensional phenomenon. The concept of the observer effect, where the act of observing changes the state of a quantum system, like Schrodinger's cat, suggests that reality is not objective, but dependent on the perceiver. So okay. You ever heard of Schrodinger's cat?
No. What is it?
So you have a cat in a box.
Okay.
Is the cat dead or alive?
It's alive.
We don't know because we can't see the cat.
Okay.
And so you never know if the cat's dead or alive until you open the box.
Mm-hmm.
So you perceiving the cat or perceiving the box can have affect the outcome of what it is. We don't know.
Mm.
By understanding the world through a quantum lens, we can see that the interdimensional does not mean far away. It means highly interconnected with every aspect, object, and entity is potentially a portal into a deeper, less structured and more fluid reality than our everyday microscopic experience suggests. That's a lot of words.
Lots of words.
So one of the things is the double slit experiment, right? So they shoot electrons through and you can see. A researcher studying quantum physics notices that certain noise in their data matches the exact timing and location of local UAP sightings, suggesting a deeper quantum link to the phenomenon.
We need to open the phenomenon.
Open the phenomenon. So when we look at the mythology of the past, we often see them as just stories. But if the interdimensional hypothesis is correct, these stories are the eyewitness testimony of our ancestors. They were seeing mm-hmm. exactly what we are seeing today, but they interpreted it through the lens of their culture. The gods, who descended from the heavens in chariots of fire, the fairies who stole children and returned them with strange knowledge, and the demons who caused chaos, all are descriptions of the same phenomenon. Our ancestors had no concept of dimensions or aliens, so they used the best language they had. By stripping away the religious and cultural window dressing, we can see a core repeating narrative. An advanced non-human intelligence has been cohabitating our environment for thousands of years. And it's likely just as present day today as it was at the time of the pharaohs.
Mm.
What do you think? Do you agree with that?
Yeah, I think so.
You think so?
Yeah, I think so. Because it will happen again for sure for us at the present of this century.
It could be.
That we need to open the box. Just like to know what there's a cat.
Oh, just like the cat, like Schrodinger's cat.
Mm-hmm.
So here's an example. An ethnologist finds that a secluded tribe's legend of sky spirits precisely describes the behavior and appearance of a UAP observed in the exact region modernly.
Cascade Interesting. Mountain. Yes. Our All topic right. is so interdimensional.
Exactly. So hotspots for paranormal and UAP activity are often called window areas. Places where the boundary between our reality and another seems thin. These locations have a high density of sightings that often defy standard explanation. Research into places like the Uinta Basin Skinwalker Ranch, we just talked about that, or the Bridgewater Triangle suggests that they are not just craft flying around, but about the total environment becoming unstable. People witness everything from UFOs and cryptid animals to ghosts and poltergeist activity. If the interdimensional hypothesis is correct, these are the areas where the brain of our reality is naturally damaged or fluctuating. The entities are not necessarily hiding in these places. They are simply able to manifest more easily because the structural integrity of our dimension is weaker there. What do you think about that?
I think, yes, it's weaker gravity.
You think so?
Definitely, yes, because they have atmosphere.
Here is the Bridgewater Triangle, which is over in Bridgewater, Massachusetts. We may talk more about that at some point.
Okay.
So here's an example. A property owner is known as a known window area, recounts years of bizarre escalating experiences involving strange creatures and floating lights, confirming the intensity of these locales. Now, we can't forget about the military. It's a little known fact that some intelligence and military organizations have long suspected that the UAP phenomena is not extraterrestrial. The difficulty in tracking them, their tendency to appear, perform impossible maneuvers, and vanish, suggests a mastery over space-time that is incompatible with simple flight. If the military's concern is not that these are ships from another planet, but that these are entities from another reality, the entire strategic approach changes. You cannot defend against a force that can exist simultaneously in your room and in a different dimension. This might explain the intense secrecy and lack of a clear public explanation. Governments may not be hiding alien technology to reverse engineer it. They may be hiding the terrifying truth that we are not the masters of our own physical domain and that there is a force that is fundamentally untouchable to our current arsenal.
The force may be with you, Mr. Bob.
And with you.
And with me. Okay.
And with you.
Yeah, untouchable. Yeah,
maybe that's what's happening.
True.
I don't know.
What is that?
That's the unstoppable force right there.
Unstoppable.
So here's an example. A former intelligence officer reveals that the primary reason for the secrecy is the inability to engage with the phenomenon, leading to a policy of denial and monitoring. What do you think, Daniel? That military is afraid of the UFOs and the dimensional beings?
I think so, yeah. Because they are more powerful.
Exactly.
They're more powerful than them. And they want to mimic.
Yeah. On that upbeat note, I think we're at our time because if the military can't best it, how can we do it?
Yes. We don't have
How can we defend ourselves?
Yes. We don't have the capabilities to do it. But anyway.
Daniel, would you like to plug anything in?
Yes, please do listen to our one-on-ones with Mr. Bob. Every Sunday, we are live through all social media. And of course, wherever you listen your podcasts.
This is Comedy 101. You can listen to that one if you want to.
Yes, Comedy 101. I'm blogging it.
Please do listen. Daniel, I hope that you don't get visited by any interdimensional beings tonight. But if you do, try to keep an open mind. And if possible, take a picture.
Take a picture for the evidence.
What if AI is an interdimensional being? We just don't know it yet.
My goodness, it's a good thing to discuss. Of course, yes. How about
Daniel?
That's a good topic next week, Mr.
Well, maybe. Who knows what'll happen next week?
Yes, I like that topic.
Stay tuned.
Marticon people, bye for now.